It's all going to zero against Bitcoin.
It's going up forever, Warren.
You're against Bitcoin. You're against freedom.
Welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, breaking news, culture, dramatic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Simply Bitcoin, the most watched daily Bitcoin live show on YouTube, Rumble, and X. We're streaming live from the Bitcoin Grove in Miami, Florida, Miami's premier Bitcoin hackerspace. And I'm here with the founder of Bitcoin Grove, my boy Roz. How you doing, Roz?
Good. Welcome to the Bitcoin Grove, baby. We're doing it live. So we have a history of Simply Live with the Bitcoin Grove, but now we're here at the Citadels, our new digs.
Yeah, so they just got a new space. Last time Simply Bitcoin did a show from the Bitcoin Grove, Ben and I, BTC Sessions, we touched the tips live. It was during the Bitcoin conference. So love these guys. And we need to plant a flag in Miami, bro, because Miami's infected with a lot of this altcoin shenanigans.
I see those tips are still lasted, though. It's nice to see that some things can hang on and grow and become part bigger, and that's what we're trying to make happen. So, yeah, we got a Bitcoin Grove crew that got together last year around conference time and has been busy just continuing to build and taking off a real high-signal Bitcoin-only community within the city of Miami. I'm still pretty, busy part of the big pictures. A lot of people that find Bitcoin end up in Miami for, you know, the reasons that, push you to Bitcoin, whether it's a government that was playing bad with the money or, you know, cross-border issues, you know, they find it. And so all the stuff we're doing, we like to meet all the people that it kind of reaches and see, hear their story. Now we've kind of got assembled a team of Avengers that are kind of residents here at Bitcoin Grove. So it's pretty exciting to evolve into new form.
Absolutely, man. And Miami is like this city of, you know, refugees that are escaping collectivism from kind of all over the world. And, you know, so I would feel like it's like the perfect place for Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoiners love freedom. And I think a lot of people that move to Miami love freedom as well, or at least know the importance of living free, right? So anyways, it's going to be a great show, ladies and gentlemen. Big news, really. So one of Japan's government funds, which has $1.5 trillion, that's trillion with a T, is looking to seek investments in potentially Bitcoin. And this is like a continuation of the trend of something that we reported around February, where Fidelity's all-in-one, quote-unquote, conservative portfolio announced that they're going to allocate at least 1% with an option to go to 3% of their, you know, total allocation into Bitcoin. So once again, this is the legitimization of Bitcoin in the eyes of the, you know, legacy institutions, legacy financial industry. And this is a trend that's going to continue, especially as number go up, technology does its thing. That's why legacy finance is here, because they couldn't resist Bitcoin's incentives. They couldn't resist Bitcoin's number go up. And it looks like that trend is also continuing. Now, a lot of people make fun of me because I bring up the Overton window so many times, but it's really, really important, right? And for anyone who doesn't know, if you're newly tuned into the show, the Overton window is essentially the acceptable window of discourse. And that window of discourse continues to shift towards Bitcoin's favor. We had Ron Paul go on Tucker Carlson yesterday and talk about essentially how these crazy ideas of ending the Fed, right, which is not crazy to us Bitcoiners, are starting to become kind of mainstream. And it reminds me of a talk that he did at Bitcoin 2021, the year of the conference, the first time that Bitcoin Magazine threw the conference in Miami, and they invited Ron Paul to speak. And he was just surprised that so many young people, so many, you know, the next generation are so hyper-focused on freedom. They're so hyper-focused on freedom-enabling technologies and protocols. And he was like, I don't really understand Bitcoin, but I understand the general theme, which is freedom, right? So we have that clip for you guys as well. And then during the culture, we're going to talk to our boy Roz here about Bitcoin Grove, what he has planned, and talk a little bit about the Miami Bitcoin community. If there's any, you know, Miamians in listening to Simply Bitcoin, there's Bitcoiners here. We exist. Go check out Bitcoin Grove if you guys want to meet up, meet some of them. And I know that you guys throw monthly events. Is that correct?
So Bitcoin Grove kind of started with a core group of contributors to the Miami BitDevs discussions, which were happening once a month. And more people would show up, become regulars, and we kind of realized that, you know, we could use a physical space to host these and, you know, see where some of the ideas for other Socratic style or different types of events bring in a high signal for Bitcoin community here in Miami. We could see it happen other places, and we wanted to kind of replicate what works, but of course make it fit for people that are here. So that's what we do. The main thing we do once a month is the Miami BitDevs. There's also a stream that happens every other week called Understanding Bitcoin Source, which literally goes almost line by line depending on the topic, to see how Bitcoin actually works, with a core contributor that hosts that. There's a Miami design club, the Bitcoin Design Club here in Miami, that meets with the community, design community. So those meetings happen usually on Monday or Wednesday mornings. There's a pretty regular flow of different things. So we're trying to just, yeah, wave that flag, as Nico mentioned. It's worth doing it, putting on for the city. And you never know who stops in Miami for a short term and shows up and shares some interesting signals. So I think that's some of the perks of being a part of the community, is some of the cool networking and high builder signal here at Bitcoin Grove. So if you're building anything, definitely stop by.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Anyways, guys, it's going to be a great show. And of course, I have my legendary co-host, who is much better at dealing with the audio board than I am. we have Optimus Fields. He's optimistic. And I heard some rumors yesterday that he is once again talking to Christine Lagarde. Is that true, Opti?
Well, I plead the fifth, but you know me, I am trying to get as close to the money printer as possible so I can get those Cantillon insider effects. Hasn't been going very well, so I'm gauging my options out there. We'll see what happens, Nico. We'll see what happens. You know, actually, on another note, I saw her talking to Augustus Carsons yesterday, so I'm not so happy about that. You know, I think I'm getting ghosted. No. What's up, guys? How you doing? It's Thursday, man. We got another day, and hey, you know, shouts out to Japan. Japan, I think, is ahead of the curve in regards to where America is going, and it is promising that they are looking for Bitcoin. Of course, we don't want to see the American economy end up like Japan's, but hey, at least they are looking for alternatives to fix their very stagnant economy. And man, we're seeing it play out in real time. We've been wondering when people are going to follow Saylor's lead. It looks like we are starting to see that signal trickle out, and people are waking up to the fact that they need some Bitcoin, guys. They need some Bitcoin. Anyway, what's up, guys? I see you guys in the chat. How you doing?
It's going to be a great show, ladies and gentlemen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we jump into the show, I do want to give a very special shout out to our lead sponsor. And of course, I'm talking about Bitcoin Grove. Bitcoin Grove is the best place to build your automatic self-custody Bitcoin stack. It's a company coming out of Canada that recently expanded to all 50 states. Let's make self-custody the default in the United States of America. It's the first Bitcoin on-ramp to make self-custody by default. What does that mean? That means that if you don't take self-custody, you can't buy Bitcoin on Bitcoin Well. And that perfectly aligns with the Simply Bitcoin ethos of the separation of money and state. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, self-custody is the revolution. Support Bitcoin companies that incentivize self-custody. So ladies and gentlemen, what are you waiting for? Visit BitcoinWell.com today. Also, give a shout out to the Bitcoin Well Bitcoin Jackpot Contest. Now, that hasn't been updated yet, but currently the jackpot is at 3.2 million Satoshis. That's right. If you enter the Bitcoin Jackpot Contest, the way that you enter is you sign up on BitcoinWell.com. If you're an existing user, go to the rewards tab in the UI on the Bitcoin Well website. And this is your opportunity to win that jackpot, help support the Bitcoin community. 10% of the jackpot is going to be supported, is going to be donated to a bunch of Bitcoin projects, and also an opportunity to win a bunch of goods. For example, last week we were giving away stamp seeds on every weekday. We've given away a passport by Foundation Devices. We've given away a book by Seb Bunny. So we want to hit 10 million Satoshis in the Bitcoin Jackpot contest. The way the jackpot grows is if you enter the jackpot. So enter the contest. And by the way, if you sign up with the referral code Drop Coinbase, you'll earn points. If you're an existing user of Bitcoin, well, give a tweet to the CEO, Adam O'Brien, and he'll send you some points as well. So hashtag Drop Coinbase. Message
only till
Adam.
Friday, though, Nico. Only till Friday.
So message Adam, and you can also use that as a referral code. No excuses. Automatic self-custody. Let's make self-custody the standard. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the numbers. We have a lot to talk about today. Let's check it out.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Is your Bitcoin in cold storage really secure? Is your seed phrase really secure? Stampseed's do-it-yourself kit has everything you need to hammer your seed words into commercial-grade titanium plates instead of just writing them on paper. Don't store your generational wealth on paper. Paper is prone to water damage, fire damage. You want to put your generational wealth on one of the strongest metals on planet Earth, titanium. Your words are actually stamped into this metal plate with this hammer and these letter stamps. And once your words are in, they aren't going anywhere. No risk of the plate breaking apart and pieces falling everywhere. Titanium stamp seeds will survive nearly triple the heat produced by a house fire. They're also crush-proof, waterproof, non-corrosive, and time-proof, all things that paper is not, allowing you to hodl your Bitcoin with peace of mind for the long haul. Stamp your seed on Stampseed.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I made it incredibly for you guys. You could scan the QR code on your screen. It'll take you directly to the Stampseed website where you can use promo code SIMPLY to get 15% off. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is $66,520. Sats per dollar, 1,503. Block height, 835,673 blocks to having 4,327 having. Estimate April 19, 2024, total Lightning network capacity 4,403 Bitcoin, capacity value $293 million. Realized monetary inflation 1.74%. The market capitalization of Bitcoin $1.31 trillion. Bitcoin versus gold market cap 9.47%. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is just getting started. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're enjoying the show and you're watching us on YouTube, Rumble, or X, make sure to smash the like button on Rumble. It's that little grayed out thumbs up. Make sure to smash it. It'll turn green on YouTube. Smash the like button. And on Twitter, you can heart it, and really tells the algos that you're enjoying the show. So we appreciate it. We're almost at 600 live viewers. So we appreciate you all. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to talk about this. I mean, this is just crazy. Again, you know, the ideas of Mises, the ideas of Hayek are going kind of mainstream. Is a good thing. We had the first libertarian candidate in world history. All we needed was like over 100% inflation, but we had the first libertarian candidate to get elected as president in Argentina, of course, and already he's just making things better. Who knew? I mean, Bitcoiners could have told you that, right? It makes a big deal. It makes a big deal when people actually believe in, you know, kind of sound economic theory, to say the least. Anyway, so here's Tucker. Tucker's one of the most popular, you know, broadcasters in the world. And he was interviewing Ron Paul. And he was basically like the title, the theme of the episode's like, Ron, like, how did you know a lot of the things that you predicted so many years ago? And, Ron was like, look, I looked at the right people. You know, I looked at these libertarian economists, right? And they just knew what was going to happen. Anyways, I'll play you the clip. Very interesting conversation. I recommend watching the entire interview. It's about 15 minutes long. It's on YouTube. It's on Twitter. But here's a clip of it. And then we'll talk about it. Let's check it out.
I had that experience. I was just saying off air at one of your speeches probably 20 years ago. I'd never seen you speak before. And you went off about the Federal Reserve. And I remember thinking, what an esoteric subject. I knew nothing about it. I thought only crazy people cared. But again, I was completely ignorant about monetary policy at the time. And I was shocked by how much the crowd loved it. They were completely tuned in. They thought it was really important. Why would the average person 20 years ago have a better sense of that than, say, me, who was paid to follow the subject but wasn't. How did people know?
I got it from literature. You could read about it. We didn't have an internet. We didn't have the radio or TV giving us good information, but it was out there. For one group that helped me a whole lot was Leonard Reed, the Foundation for Economic Education.
Yes.
I knew him, and he was a true believer. He was a dignified person and very likable, and he talked about process, how you reach people. And but he was very, very libertarian his own way, but he was sort of an intellectual. And he influenced me a lot, so I read everything he did. And he did a lot of literature. But the follow-up of that was, of course, the Mises Institute. And,
yes.
And I was part of that. And I think they're important people. I know people on TV are really important.
Oh, so important.
So important. But there are a lot of people that are important. I think the ideas are the most important.
Let's talk a little bit about that, right? The ideas of Austrian economists, really. The ideas of sound money, the ideas of, people actually not believing absolute insanities. And again, this was many, many years ago. Tucker was basically saying, like, how did you know all this stuff was gonna happen? He's like, look, I looked at the right ideas, right? And the thing that kind of struck me a little bit was you had Tucker, who was plugged into kind of the legacy media kind of institution, because back then, this is many, many years ago, Tucker was still with legacy media. And he was like, look, I didn't understand this whole end the Fed thing. It was such a radical idea to me. But in terms of the average everyday person, they're like, yeah, and the Fed, like, they, even if they didn't understand, they innately knew that this institution was evil, right? Or this institution was causing lots of harm. And it's just, and I'm so glad how much progress we've made to talk about this, to the point that, you literally had Javier Milei give a speech at the Contillionaire Conference, aka the World Economic Forum, and literally talk about how money printing is a way to control the masses, a way to control the population, right? So we've gone that far. We've made that much progress in a couple decades from when Ron Paul started it all. He was the one starting to introduce these ideas into the mainstream consciousness. But now they're out there. People are starting to ask the very fundamental question, what is money? What is the Federal Reserve? Why should there be a central bank? And that's how we win. That's how we win, because the other side relies on basically having this monopoly on information, the control on the narrative. Nayib Bukele referenced this in his very famous article for Bitcoin Magazine called, and literally I'll paraphrase here, but he said, quote, their most important weapon is their control on the truth. I think if people really woke up and they really started to ask questions about what the Federal Reserve was, what the Federal Reserve is, why should the government have the ability to create money for free that everyone else has to work for, I think we'd win tomorrow. And one of the best vehicles for people to really start asking questions is to take the orange pill. Like, holding Bitcoin will make you start asking questions about the dollar. It will make you start asking questions about central banks, right? It's just, the famous saying, you don't change Bitcoin, Bitcoin changes you. I mean, Roz, you're a Bitcoiner like me, man. I'm sure you're a fan of Ron Paul, but does this surprise you, dude, that we've made this much progress? I know we still have a lot of work to do. We still gotta, stay attentive. We still gotta stay hyper-focused on this revolution. But I mean, we've definitely made a tremendous amount of progress.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I think as long as he's nailing the head on with the truth, it tends to reveal itself. It's pretty expensive over time to keep the truth from coming out. So Ron Paul's been talking about it. I think back to one of my personal Bitcoin journey highlights was getting to see him there in 21 at in Wynwood when they put on the whole, not the largest, I guess the next year was peak, the largest gathering of Bitcoiners in Miami. That 2022 was a little bigger, but it's evolved into that campaign rally. I don't know what they're going to do in Nashville this year, but I'm sure they'll be back to Miami soon enough. But as far as these talking points hitting a new mainline, like people actually asking questions about the Fed, I think more and more when you look back and see who was calling it from before, and you see where are they getting, you know, building their mental model and seeing the world, you know, people that were talking about the Fed continuously are right. And, you know, that has a lot of, you know, builds a lot of credibility when you're right that often, when you're talking about, you know, money getting destroyed and the externalities that people are dealing with, they start to ask the same questions, and they're going to want to see who's been on this for a while. So of course, Ron Paul is like on that Mount Rushmore of calling out the Fed, you know, who do we put him up there with? He's definitely one of the big ones that brought me into the political side of Bitcoin, you know, as well as asking the right questions.
I would say like maybe like Andrew Jackson,
way back, killing the national bank. You know, we gotta push back on that.
So if one day, well, Bitcoiners will build the new Mount Rushmore of you know, ending the central bank, and we'll have Ron Paul right next to Andrew Jackson. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on this, brother? And I surely do miss you on the soundboard. Cause,
yeah, dude, you're trash over there, dude. As you guys can tell, he doesn't know how to use the soundboard.
I'm so used to producing for myself, bro. But Opti's legends.
Okay, all right. Let's get into this. So, I mean, look, personally, guys, like, I didn't even know about Austrian economics versus Keynesian economics before I found Bitcoin. I barely even knew about Ron Paul before Bitcoin. And it's really incredible how understanding Bitcoin fixes financial illiteracy, and it opens up a whole new world of understanding. Of course, we say Bitcoin is truth all the time. It is basically, you know, what, like natural law in cyberspace. And once you understand what's actually going on with the money, you can really start to understand and parse what's going on in the world. And once you basically view the world through your first principles, Bitcoin fundamentals, you start to understand the chicanery that is going on in traditional financial world, and you start to get a new vantage point and untie all of these knots that everyone of your family members and your friends are fully enthralled in. It's like everyone has a fiat knot in their brain right now, and they can't see the world clearly. But once you put on those orange lenses, once you put on those clear lenses that Bitcoin provides for you, you can start to see the world clearly. You can start to see people's incentives. You can start to understand what is actually going on in the world and where the root of the problem is. And of course, we say it all the time, it is fiat money. Anyways, this Ron Paul and Tucker Carlson clip reminds me of the short we just dropped, Nico, where you had the IRL with Larry Lepard. I think he's been on the show like three times. But it reminded me of it because Larry Lepard basically was passing the torch to Bitcoiners in the hard money gang hard money game. And he's like, man, I've been a gold bug for what, like 30 years or something like that, basically longer than I've been alive. Shout out to Larry Lepard. I know every time I say that, he's like, man, you're making me feel old. That's not my point when I say that. It's just that gold bugs were right, in my opinion. They understand hard money. You know, Ron Paul's end the Fed meme was right. It's just they didn't have an actual solution. And now we have the tools. Like, Bitcoiners are actualizing what the gold bugs dreamt of doing. And if we do this correctly, rather when we do this correctly, Bitcoin will actualize the dreams of the hard money standard guys that are the gold bugs out there, because there is a problem in the world. And as Ron Paul said himself, you know, when it's ideas time, it cannot be stopped. And that's where Bitcoin is. And we all know, we talk about this every single day, and we always double back on the same idea. Like, there is a problem in the world right now, and the financial system is basically on its last fumes. And who knows how long they can possibly kick the can down the road, but there will be another financial crisis at some point on the horizon. And now there's a thing you can do to protect yourself. Diversify your systemic risk, and it literally will take you 90 seconds to get out of the fiat system. You know, go to bitcoinwell.com, start saving in Bitcoin, stack sats, take Bitcoin into self-custody, a true hard cap digital money for the digital world. This is how we fix these problems going on right now. Like, it's a new world. Shouts out to Carlos Matos for you guys that know. It's a brand new world. It's a totally new world that we're living in now. And it's as simple as just saving in Bitcoin. And you don't have to do all of this financial trickery. Just provide value, save in Bitcoin, store that value, and spend that value on things you want in the future. Pay yourself first, all that good stuff. Anyways, Nico.
Amen. Jump guys, in, bro. I do want to give a shout out to our merch. It's a limited edition drop. We teamed up with the Bitcoin artist Asanoa. Opti, did I say that right?
Asanoa, yeah, close. It's not Asanoa, it's Asanoa.
Asanoa. Anyways, and this is why Opti pronounces all the very difficult words and stuff. Anyways, this is a limited edition drop. We got different, we got the Peaceful Bitcoin Revolution shirt with the Guy Fawkes mask. We got the orange pill, or sorry, the gold Bitcoin pill, the Simply Bitcoin logo, the gold Bitcoin snapback, the gold Bitcoin dad hat. And of course, we got the ladies merch as well. So guys, go check this out while supplies last. Really helps Simply Bitcoin stay independent. Of course, you know, stack those sats first. But if you do want to support the show, we really, really do appreciate it. You can scan the QR code or check the link in the video description. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the news. We have a lot to talk about.
The Daily News.
I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Foundation Devices. It's self-custody done right. They built a premium-grade hardware wallet called Passport right here in the US. It's fully open source and verifiable. It's the most intuitive Bitcoin wallet designed with a UX reminiscent of a simple feature phone. So you will know how to navigate it and use it the moment you pick it up. Get your Bitcoin off exchanges and into your own hands in just a few minutes. Experience the peace of mind that comes with taking ownership of your own keys. After a massive sellout during Bitcoin Miami 2023, the Passport is back in stock at foundationdevices.com. Bitcoin only, open source verifiable, completely air gap security model, gorgeous design craft, premium grade materials. If you're thinking about getting your Bitcoin off exchanges, this is the one for you. Check out the Passport link in the show notes below to learn more.
Ladies and gentlemen, I made it incredibly easy for you guys. You could scan the QR code on your screen. Remember guys, not your keys, not your cheese. You want to store your generational wealth properly. And the way that you do is by putting it in cold storage. And of course, we recommend the hardware wallet by our sponsor, Passport by Foundation Devices, completely open source. And if you pair it with their app, the Envoy app, it makes signing Bitcoin transactions incredibly easy. I can't emphasize that enough. So check out Passport by Foundation Devices, ladies and gentlemen. You can do that by scanning the QR code or checking the link in the video description. Anyways, I do want to give a quick ETF update. So MicroStrategy currently holds about 214,000 Bitcoin. And of course, the BlackRock just continues to stack. On yesterday's episode, they had 233,000 Bitcoin. They're up today at 239,000. That's 6,000 Bitcoin that they have stacked over literally the last 24 hours. Absolutely crazy. It looks like the Fidelity ETF has kind of, I don't want to say flatlined, but it's kind of going sideways a little bit, but they still hold 135,697 Bitcoin. As you can see by the lines also, they just continue to go up and to the right, right? So absolutely bullish. You know, these massive kind of institutions, you know, the asset managers, better said, continue to stack the corn. And of course, MicroStrategy on the public company level, continuing to lead the pack, absolutely slaying it. Anyways, this is what I want to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen, which is Japan's $1.5 trillion government fund seeks info on illiquid assets, including Bitcoin, for portfolio diversification. I mean, when they say illiquid assets, like Bitcoin's like the most liquid asset ever, right? I would even say that it's more liquid than cash, especially if you're taking self-custody though, right? Because look, with cash, you still have to ask the bank, and the bank still has to like basically ask for approval in order for, you know, the bank has to approve whether they could send that cash or not for you. But Bitcoin, if you have it in self-custody, you don't have to ask anybody for permission, right? So I would say Bitcoin's the most liquid asset ever. And especially like, I mean, look at the market cap now, right? Like you can sell this thing pretty quickly as well. So I mean, you know, it's interesting how they say that. Maybe if it's a fund of 1.5 trillion, that's more than Bitcoin's total market cap, just to kind of give you guys an idea of how big this fund is. Maybe they could say Bitcoin is a liquid asset because, you know, they have so much money and, you know, the Bitcoin market cap is still tiny. But I don't know. Interesting how that's phrased, though. Anyways, it goes on to say Japan's government pension investment fund is seeking information regarding the option to potentially invest Bitcoin in its investment portfolio. The fund announced on Tuesday that it officially requests the public to submit information on low liquidity assets such as Bitcoin, gold, and farmland. This is part of its five-year research to innovate investment strategies in response to economic and social changes and the rapid development of technology, the fund stated. Now, it's really interesting, right? They're putting Bitcoin next to gold, right? And this is, you know, Saylor says it best, but Bitcoin is just better than gold. It's a superior asset. And if Bitcoin reaches the market cap of gold, that would put the price of one Bitcoin between $600,000 to $700,000 per coin, right? And I think it's just a better asset than gold. Gold isn't absolutely scarce. Bitcoin is. You don't know how much gold is floating in outer space or in the ground. I know there will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin. Anyways, it's just a matter of time before the rest of the world wakes up to that reality. However, it is difficult to view the latest announcement as indicative of the pension fund's inclination towards Bitcoin, as it is in the stages of collecting data prior to a proper discussion. I'm telling you right now, the fact that they even put those Bitcoin next to those things tells me that this is inevitable. Tell me this is inevitable stuff. Why do I say it's inevitable? Because as number go up does what number go up does best, it's going to become very apparent that Bitcoin is a superior asset to hold than gold and farmland. I would, you know, and they say low liquidity. I guess you could say low liquidity just because of the market cap of Bitcoin, but I mean, not for long. Anyways, it goes on to say, as of Q3 2023, Japan's portfolio investment fund managed about 224 trillion yen, about 1.5 trillion US dollars. It is the world's largest known pension fund. Did you hear that? That is so absolutely bullish. The world's largest pension fund is looking into investing in Bitcoin. This comes as the price fell 5.43% in the past 24 hours, retracing a portion of its record-breaking gains made last week. However, it remains up more than 50% year to date. Absolutely bullish. And again, if you connect this with what is happening with Fidelity, and I mentioned this in the very beginning of the show, Fidelity's 1% to 3% Bitcoin allocation in their all-in-one asset allocation funds in Canada using spot Bitcoin ETFs. The, quote, conservative version is posted below. So, I mean, check that out, ladies and gentlemen. This is the trend. You can't deny it. You have the world's largest pension fund. And, of course, you have Fidelity, their all-in-one, quote-unquote, conservative portfolio already announcing. This has already happened that they're allocating 1% with an option to allocate up to 3% of that all-in-one conservative ETF into Bitcoin, right? So this is a trend. You can't stop the train. You either get on it or you risk getting left behind. But this is incredibly bullish. And I would say, guys, if you want to take something from today's episode, this is the signal right here. The world's largest pension fund is looking into investing into Bitcoin, and they basically equate Bitcoin to gold and a form of real estate. So that is incredibly bullish news, at least from the price perspective, from the revolution perspective. Again, the revolution is self-custody, but this is incredibly bullish nonetheless, man. I mean, I don't want to say I can't believe it, but it's totally believable. It's going up forever, Laura. It's the best asset ever. But you know, it's just incredibly bullish. If you would have told me this a couple of years ago, I would have said that this was going to happen. But still, it's still surprising nonetheless when these things happen, right? And the reason that it's surprising is because, when Nayib Bukele made the announcement that Bitcoin was going to become legal tender in El Salvador, you knew that was going to happen as a Bitcoiner, but it still shocked you. You were still like, what? This is crazy. When Michael Saylor made that announcement, you know, public company putting Bitcoin on their balance sheet, you know, you knew that it was going to happen, but it was still surprising. So now the world's largest pension fund is looking into investing Bitcoin, and it equates it to gold and farmland. Like, you knew it was going to happen, but it's still surprising nonetheless. Anyways, Roz, I mean, does this surprise you, brother? You've been in Bitcoin for a little bit. What's your take?
No, of course not. All paths lead to Bitcoin. I mean, it's part of the, you know, this is good for Bitcoin. It's just everything's good for Bitcoin because it's the emergent money that is kind of defining where we're headed. And people who see it sooner, they tend to, benefit to a larger degree than the people who are late. And if the world's largest pension fund is going to be at this point, it's all coming. It doesn't surprise me at all.
I think what Roz said is that this is inevitable. Oof. All right, Opti. Special request. Could you, did you soundboard, did you ever get a chance to soundboard where Michael Saylor was basically said, if you don't,
I haven't got it yet. I'll do that this weekend. Yeah. I completely blanked on it. Too much on my plate right now. And also I kind of forgot how to get my sounds on my soundboard. I need to go back and do a tutorial. Anyways, reading this really remind me, first of all, shout out to our boy Dom, who's been on the show recently, absolute character, but also he's been beating that drum of this exact thing happening, of course, in the US and not in Japan. But connecting this to what I just said a minute ago, everyone that is aware of what's going on in the world realizes we all have the same problem. You cannot store value in fiat currencies. And I'm not particular, you know, I don't know all the particulars to what the pension funds are holding, but I can venture to guess that they're holding treasuries, that they might have some cash on their balance sheet, and they're realizing that this isn't a sustainable path moving forward. And so, you know, as Nico was pointing out, the pension fund literally holds more money, or rather more value in assets than the total market cap of Bitcoin. And the fact that the researching Bitcoin and connecting Bitcoin as being a similar store of value as gold and farmland or real estate just goes to show that what we've been saying has been right for so long, and we knew this was going to happen. And I kind of mentioned it earlier, but shouts out to Nolan, Count BTC, who does The Breakup. I absolutely love his show in the morning, really connecting and putting the dots together. Highly, highly recommend you guys watch the show. He mentioned that, this is him speculating a little bit, but he was saying that the reason that Satoshi Nakamoto used that pseudonym as Satoshi Nakamoto was because he was basically forecasting or foreshadowing that what Satoshi was saying is that America has basically was on the path of becoming like Japanification, I think is the word he was saying. And if you do a little bit of research or just a basic overview of what's going on in Japan, you understand that they are ahead of the game on basically the fiat disaster train that we find ourselves on. And so the fact that they are looking towards Bitcoin, the fact that they're seeing Bitcoin as a solution, I think is just a foreshadow of where America is going to go. In the future, it might even be a very short future from here, you're going to see, I think, a very quick pivot from the ruling class, from the politicians and the central bankers. And instead of them fighting Bitcoin, they're going to embrace Bitcoin and realize that, oh my goodness, Bitcoin is the escape hatch. Bitcoin is the safety net going on. And we might already be seeing this happen in regards to the interest in stablecoins. Shout out to Mark Goodwin. Again, I mentioned the Bitcoin dollar. I just finished it like yesterday. And I don't think that the people that are in power, quote unquote, like people like to call them the elites or whatever, I don't think that privately they misunderstand Bitcoin as much as people publicly would like to say. You know, Nico and I have been giving them the benefit of the doubt for a while that they didn't understand what was going on with Bitcoin. But the more you kind of see what they're doing and not what they're saying, you start to understand that they understand what we understand, is that the financial system has a problem. And there's basically two routes. You know, Nico, we said it's Bitcoin or slavery. And if there is a new financial crisis going on, obviously that will be an excuse for them to kind of roll out a CBDC, even though Jay Powell has been out there saying like, oh, we're never going to have a CBDC. We're just looking into how to modernize digital payments and all that good stuff. But you understand that there's literally only one thing that can be the escape valve. It's like there is heat going on in the system. There's a lot of pressure in the financial world. And the only way they can keep this going is either by manipulating interest rates or printing more money. And so it's an inevitability that they're going to be put in a position where they have to manipulate the monetary policy unless they start to slowly but surely trickle that value into Bitcoin. So going back to Japan's pension fund and embracing Bitcoin, or at least researching Bitcoin, I think just goes to show that we're going to see very interesting names come out. And I said this last week when Dom was on. I think by Q2, Q3, Q4 of this year, we're going to see very interesting, and by interesting, I mean huge names, start to either embrace Bitcoin or come out that they've already been stacking Bitcoin. But that interest is starting to build, because not only is Michael Saylor putting on a masterclass out there of what people can be doing to stack sats, but Wall Street is falling in love with Bitcoin. Everyone wants the Bitcoin gained, because if you're holding dollars, you're holding melting ice cubes. And everyone that understands what's going on with the financial system understands that holding fiat currencies are melting ice cubes, or even worse, the quote unquote risk-free trade of holding treasuries, aka government debt, is starting to become unfeasible on the market because inflation's going so high. There's no possible alternative for these people to maintain their value. And it's literally either, you know, going back to buying gold, or what we're seeing happen right now, everyone investing in real estate and becoming, you know, these, what do they call them? Like Airbnb flippers, and storing their value in big or in real estate. They're going to look for an alternative. And we're seeing that that alternative is Bitcoin. And man, of course, this just means number has to go up. Bitcoin price has to increase, or rather the purchasing power of one Bitcoin has to go up. And you guys have the front row for this. But of course, we say it all the time, self-custody is a revolution, and you need to store your Bitcoin on keys that you control, or else we might find ourselves in a system where Bitcoin gets co-opted by these people's incentives. But Bitcoin's incentives are pure as long as you use it correctly. And now we're seeing literally the biggest pension fund in the world starting to at the very least look into Bitcoin. Man, it's going to, I think it really, like, it goes to show that Bitcoin market has matured and we're entering into a new era of Bitcoin. And again, I say it all the time, this is the importance of all of us communicating the Bitcoin message, spreading the Bitcoin meme so that people understand what exactly is going on, trying to educate our friends. Again, hat tip to Nolan, you know, continuing the propagation of the peer-to-peer education network that is all of you Bitcoiners out there. We are winning so hard that everyone is looking to Bitcoin, and we're just going to continue to win. And the more people we educate, the harder we are going to win, and the harder it is for them to co-opt Bitcoin. Hold on, they want horns.
Shout out to Kevin Opar for the super chat. $1.99. Hit the horn for Japan. So appreciate you, Kevin. By the way, we turned on the super chats on our show as a popular request. So appreciate all the super chats that we've been getting in the last week or so. Guys, also, if you're enjoying the show so far, make sure to smash that like button. It really, really helps. So if you're watching us on YouTube, Rumble, or X, smash the like button. It really, really helps, like I said. Anyways, yeah, dude, I love Nolan's show, The Breakup, dropping so much sauce. But, you know, it's a historic day, ladies and gentlemen. It's a historic week. So many historic weeks in Bitcoin, right?
Every week's historic.
It's literally, and things are just getting started. But if you are to take away one thing from today's show, the world's largest pension fund is equating Bitcoin to gold and real estate. And they are literally looking into potentially adding Bitcoin to the world's largest pension fund. Not to mention, what are the political implications of that, right? I guarantee you, right, if Bitcoin is added to that pension fund, Bitcoin will never be made illegal in Japan, right? There will literally be a revolt on the streets tomorrow. This is why Elizabeth Warren was fighting so hard for Bitcoin not to be added to the ETFs, right? This is literally why they were fighting so hard, because they know that all of a sudden, if everyone starts owning the Bitcoin ETF, if the US government tries to pass any law that's going to hurt the price of Bitcoin, like, you know, it's going to be impossible. She's trying to act as quickly as possible. And this is something that I said the moment I heard that Donald Trump, out of all people, was literally saying that if you were to elect me into office, I will make sure that a CBDC, you know, it will never happen if I'm president. I literally said, when I heard that, I literally said, I'm like, look, by 2028, which is the year of the next presidential election, and also the next halving, I might add, it will be politically unviable to pass any type of anti Bitcoin legislation, or sorry, it will become politically unviable for you to have a politically unviable for you to have an anti-Bitcoin stance as a candidate. And I think it's going to happen as fast as 2028. Anyways, I saw that comment. Ross, Kid Rock is on the show. Holy shit. Yeah, we got Kid Rock on the show. He's a Bitcoiner.
Kid Rock's a Bitcoiner. You're
Kid Rock's
first.
A Bitcoiner. No, but this is our boy Roz. He is the founder of Bitcoin Grove here in Miami. And we're recording live from the Bitcoin Grove space. It's Miami's premier hacker space in Miami. I said that already. But check that out. Check out Bitcoin Grove. Go to @BitcoinGrove on Twitter, and you'll see more information there. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the culture. We could talk more about Bitcoin Grove, about Miami's Bitcoin scene, and what plans Roz has for the whole space. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the culture. Let's do it. Here we go.
The Daily Culture.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to give a very special shout out to Kabeem Racks. They are the most trusted place to buy, sell, and host mining equipment. You can check out their inventory on Telegram and connect with a member of their sales team. They make purchasing their products easy and transparent. You can also sell your mining equipment with them. Access their vast network of domestic and international customers when you sell your mining equipment with Kaboom Racks. This is where I personally buy my Bitcoin mining ASICs. Check out Kaboom Racks today. And again, you could do that by scanning the QR code or checking the link in the video or podcast description. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have this conversation. Let's try to get Leron in here. Leron, pull up a chair, our boy Leron. Leron is one of the most talented developers I've met in my life. Leron, let's get you in between me and Roz. Here we go. And
beautiful.
Let's get this.
Zoom out a little bit.
Kind of zoomed out a little bit. We're producing on the fly, everyone. So I apologize, and here we go. We got the full crew in here at the Bitcoin Grove in Miami, Miami's own Bitcoin hacker space. And I'll start with you, Roz. What is a hacker space, man? I don't even know what that is, but it sounds badass.
So like a hackathon happens, and a team forms, and they come together.
Let's back up, dude. I'm in media. What is a hackathon?
Well, in the history of hackathons, it's usually a prompt and a prize associated for building either the coolest or the best thing with a certain theme. It's creators, it's builders, it's mostly, you know, cypherpunks write code. So there's a very heavy like dev leaning, but there's people that do all sorts of stuff. So, everybody kind of brings their own skill set into the space, and you know, we're trying to advance Bitcoin with, you know, that means to something different to different people, but we all see it as money and we see a better future using it as money. So filling the gaps, hacking things into existence is really what hackers do. But I'll let Leron talk about how he kind of got involved building in this space, and we have some other builders here, so maybe we can kind of talk about what's being built at the Bitcoin Grove to answer that question.
Beautiful, beautiful. So before we get Leron in the space, so Leron is Simply Bitcoin's unofficial technical correspondent.
We haven't had him on in for a minute. We need some tech analysis.
Yeah, we got to bring Leron on the show. He's one of the most talented developers, like I said, that I know. And, you know, happy to have him back, to chat with us today. How are you doing, Leron?
Doing good. I can't hear myself, so I can't hear you either, Opti, but... Hi, how are you doing? I've been a part of Bitcoin Grove since, I guess, the beginning. Roz has done an amazing job, you know, cultivating a community, and I've been really happy to have this in Miami because, you know, the community in Miami was a little shady for quite a while. So we have a really good community of builders, very, very strong thinkers, I spend some of my time here. You know, I'd love to be here more often than I am. I'm here usually once or twice a week. But I'm spending my time here just building. Right now I'm working with TBD on Web5. So if you guys, you've heard me talk about it before, decentralized identity, data storage and stuff like that. We have some cool releases coming in the near, very, very near future. But all the stuff is available. It's all open source. It's in tech preview right now. Please go and play with it.
Awesome. So, Liron, what is what you said? Web 5. So, Web 3 is where all the shitcoinery is happening, right? But Web 5 is Bitcoin related. Could you kind of explain what Web 5 is?
Well, it's not exactly Bitcoin related, but many of us that are working on it just believe in the Bitcoin ethos, and we believe that you don't really need any of the shitcoins to do any of the stuff that people want to get out of Web 3. You know, what people really want out of Web 3 is being able to own their own data and be able to control their digital identity, their online identity, their online presence. And that's what Web 5 is really about. It uses decentralized identifiers to identify yourself. It uses something called verifiable credentials as a standard way to issue credentials and verify them between parties. And then there's another component, which I work on, is called decentralized web nodes. And that is where the storage happens and some of the application rules of like who can access what kind of. So you can, you know, build all sorts of apps on there. It's analogous a little bit to Nostr, but it has some more standardization rules around it, I'll say.
Awesome, awesome. And this is exactly why Liron is Simply Bitcoin's technical correspondent, because I have no idea what any of that means, but I'm sure a lot of you do. So back to Roz. Thank you, Liron. Let me give you a hug. Love this guy. Love this guy. Incredible dude. Anyways, so back to Roz. Roz, you decided to really start this kind of Bitcoin oasis in this sea of shitcoinery. We had a little bit of a boost with the Miami Bitcoin Conference. You know, had a lot of people kind of come and visit and had a good time in Miami a little bit. But Bitcoin Conference has moved on. It's, you know, it's in Nashville, right? There's a huge Bitcoin presence in Nashville. You have Bitcoin Park. You know, of course, you have the Bitcoin Conference. You have Bitcoin Magazine headquarters, right? So it's, you know, it's we're basically the last flag in Miami. So, so talk a little bit about, you know, why you started Bitcoin Grove in Miami, why it's important. If there's any Bitcoiners in Miami, you guys have to make the trek here to Bitcoin Grove. Check out the office space. A bunch of Bitcoiners here building. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I just refuse to live somewhere where people don't know what's up with Bitcoin. They just refuse to get it. So I wanted to be a part of that. When I was in the Bay Area, I, you know, attended all this stuff, different crypto, blockchain bullshit. And then I went to BitDevs and I started to like understand how Bitcoin works, and pieces really started to click for me, and it made it easier and easier to see through the bullshit. So that was part of my experience attending Socratic Seminar Series. So when I got back to Miami, this is where my family is. This is where I'm from. I'm going to live here long term. There needed to be a regular BitDev. So we started the Miami BitDevs a little over 2 years ago. And I saw what other cities were doing. So I went out to Pleb Lab. Shout out. They threw me some great swag here. We got the Pleb Lab tee. I don't know if that's on camera or not. They're doing it up in Austin with a good density of builders. And then, of course, Bitcoin Park out in Nashville. They've got the, you know, BTC Inc. there in their backyard too, and bringing the conference home. It's putting on for the city of Nashville. Seeing what they were doing there with a very upscaled campus to advance Bitcoin, you know, I was like, every city needs that. So why not Miami? So we're, you know, finding other builders like-minded that want to be a part of it, bringing them under a roof, seeing what kind of synergies and what type of places we can find that we can help each other out, different skills and different people. So it's emerging as this pretty competitive scene in the grand scheme of the Bitcoin cities. I think Miami has a lot of room to run to emerge as a big Bitcoin city. So like winning hackathons here with our hackers that are members, that's like one of the ways we compete. We had a logo competition, which of course it's a shame we don't have our Bitcoin Grove hat on right now, but we should have that logo up. We put up design competitions to just kind of like, you know, where competition happens, winners, the people win, the people using what we're competing to build. So we just want more and more cool stuff. So it's fun to lean in a little bit to the rivalry across the state. We got Bitcoin Bay over there. So I want to shout those guys out. They're building high signal Bitcoin content in Tampa. It's just seeing what other people are doing and kind of, I think, having this vision where every city is going to have its focused Bitcoin crew. And if we can use the economies of scale to kind of share resources where not every builder needs to set up their own suite and have something that can kind of lower the bar to the cost of building on a Bitcoin standard and really pushing your community. You hear so much about people piecing out to El Salvador. You know, that doesn't really jibe with me. I'm I love being in Miami because it's so close to the U.S. You know, I don't really want to go anywhere. So we got to build here. And I think if you buckle in, I was like the first route to really kind of commit to do it, you know, but there's other routes that pop up, you know, and really start building that network. And then the circular economy happens, you know, there's products and services and people are charging Bitcoin. People are paying Bitcoin. So naturally you bring the builders together, you see what they're working on, you find places where it can change the community while you're a part of it. So I'm very bullish on every city having a citadel, and, you know, rather than escaping to Bitcoin country, you know, make wherever you're at like happen. So I believe it's a matter of aligning the energy and finding other people that are, you know, on the psychopath Bitcoin or nothing, you know, like refuse to work for something someone else can make for nothing.
Absolutely.
Wait, 100%. can you tell that one more time to Nico that we are not leaving the U.S.? He needs to hear this constantly. I do have one question though. I'm pretty sure I've asked this to Nico. I've asked this to Wine as well, but I'd like to get your take, because we all know that Miami is kind of, for better or worse, kind of like a shitcoin city. You know, there's a lot of shitcoiners out there. There's a lot of superficial, you know, money type of people. So what do you think it would take to get a lot of people in Miami stacking Bitcoin?
Yeah, I think it needs to be real. I think builders need to be able to thrive, right? So resources available to builders, you know, capital formation, where if you have a sustainable business model that is also aligned with advancing Bitcoin, I think there needs to be more people, you know, writing checks and backing those startups, turning them into something that grows with the community. So you're already seeing it. One of the hackathon projects here, Resolver, was a bunch of the Bitcoin Grove members. We got the runner up at Legends of Lightning, where we built a bounty board that used Noster to try to solve some of the problems around getting work to big bounties, bigger bounties that lead to some disputes. You know, we figured out a way to resolve them with Zap polls, and we're working on some other stuff to do open source justice. So that kind of started, and we need more traction with it. And I think everybody within their region, their city, they kind of like put their flag out and build something. And it tends to be that, like, that piece of that black hole for the gravity that would bring other builders that are aligned to see where they can advance it. So having a project, you know, I like to see in Austin, it happened with Unchained. You know, they had a big piece, part of the gravity to make Austin a high signal Bitcoin city. And of course, in New York, with the Chaincode Labs guys doing their thing, they have the original Bit Devs up there, and that's happening. So I think each city leans into what they do. For Miami, you know, we have a lot of shady people. So naturally, having an open source justice movement out of here makes a lot of sense. Hold people accountable. Sunny city for shady people is the truth. And a lot of it's the facade. You know, Miami Beach especially puts on. And you know, naturally, Bitcoin Magazine showed up to do their circus. But at the end of the day, there's people living here and working here and building and advancing Bitcoin in their, with their skills. So like, it doesn't just come on and disappear. We're the gateway to the Caribbean. There's a lot of people that end up, you know, Latin America, really, the capital of Latin America here in Miami. So I think there's a lot of people that found Bitcoin and are gonna be pushing whatever they're doing right now toward hyper Bitcoinization for the rest of their life. So, you know, like there's others everywhere. You know, this is happening all over the place, and it's a beautiful thing to see here.
Love it. I'm gonna, one more question for you, Roz. Can anyone be a part of BitGrove? Like, what's the deal with this? If they're in Miami area, how can they get involved? And then I'll pass it to Nika.
Yeah, it's membership's open for inquiries. So if you want a dedicated desk, it's $450 a month. That's what we do for our resident members. We also take applications for Bitcoiners and residents, which kind of is a discounted resident membership, but there's some strings attached, like more of the help with event organization, some of the community responsibilities. So like, there are two kind of paths, the resident members and Bitcoiners in residence. So the site has the link, which is on, it's linked to our Twitter handle. So you can just click through for the membership inquiry on Twitter, at Bitcoin Grove. Yeah, for people that are in Miami or spend enough time here to make use out of that resident membership, there's a larger co-work with print stations, coffee on tap. It's kind of like a WeWork. We have our little corner of it dedicated to advancing Bitcoin. So if that appeals to you, definitely get in touch. DMs are open.
Amen to that. And guys, I put it up on screen. You can go to tinyurl.com/BTCGrove and you could sign up for the website and you can apply to be a member, especially if you live in Miami. Help grow the Bitcoin community, help us as Bitcoiners plant a flag, you know, in Vice City, right? So anyways, you know, guys, really appreciate you guys tuning into today's show. We got 1,380 live viewers across all platforms, and of course our viewers over at Rumble. So if you guys enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. If you feel like we provided you value, consider subscribing to the Simply Bitcoin channel on your favorite medium, of course. And of course, if you want to help push the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, like the great Andrew Breitbart said, if you want to win over the political game, you have to take over the culture, right? The way that you do that is, winning over the hearts and minds of the people. So share Bitcoin music, share Bitcoin art, share Bitcoin communities like the Bitcoin Grove. Tell it to your friends. Share Bitcoin media, share Bitcoin everything. We got to win over the hearts and minds of individuals, not left versus right. It's not Republican versus Democrat. It is the party of green versus the party of orange. I thought it was quite a coincidence. I found it funny that it was, it's green peace. Attacking Bitcoin. Obviously, Greenpeace is on the party of green. It's in the name. I just don't think they know that. Anyways, guys, we love you. We appreciate you. And we'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. Peace out, everybody.
Episode was brought to you by BitcoinWell.com, a Bitcoin-only platform on a mission to enable financial independence.